A treat, some late summer jazz. It's Friday, and for many of you, that means looking forward to settling in and listening to Jazz Tonight with Rich Tozier, which airs every Friday night from 8 to 10 on Maine Public Classical. Rich's show is an institution in Maine, a place where jazz aficionados and newbies alike share their love for what's been called America's classical music. I'm Jennifer Rooks. On today's program, Rich joins us for a little jazz education. He'll be joined by promoter Paul Lichter and pianist Tom Porter. What are your questions about jazz? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Jazz is a uniquely American art form, and today we're going to explore and listen to the many different types of music that fall under the jazz umbrella. We are also going to talk about the jazz scene in Maine. In the studio with me, Paul Lichter. He was the owner of the Portland Jazz Club, Cafe No, and is the artistic director for jazz programming at the Portland Conservatory of Music. Tom Porter is a voice familiar to many of you. He used to be the host of Maine Things Considered. He's now with Bowdoin College as a multimedia producer. He's also a jazz pianist with the band Tom Porter and Friends. Tom, do you say pianist or pianist?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. A piano player.
Okay. And joining us from our Bangor studio is the one and only Rich Tozier, Maine Public's host of Jazz Tonight with Rich Tozier. Welcome to you all. And as always, we want to hear from you in the audience. Are you a jazz lover? Do you have a favorite artist? Are you following an up-and-coming artist? Our phone number 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Rich, you're up first. I understand the simple little four-letter word jazz is kind of complicated. Define it for us. What is jazz?
Well, that's the $64 question. Originally, it was a verb, and I can't really go into that in too much depth on the air. But as
Tom's
a noun,
giggling.
It has a lot of different meanings, and I always take my cue. Years ago, back before the BBC was everywhere on FM, you could get it on shortwave, and a British jazz musician, I think his name was Humphrey Littleton, a trumpeter, had a show called Jazz for the Asking, and he would take requests from all over the world. And he got a complaint from a listener saying that what he played wasn't jazz. And I thought Humphrey Littleton's answer was appropriate. He says, jazz is where you hear it. And it's to me, it encompasses a whole scope of music. And I would even include such things as klezmer music in jazz. But jazz is basically, there's somewhere along the line, there has to be some improvisation. And in many types of music that we speak in terms of categories, but to me it's a music of improvisation. There has to be improvisation, and that is such a broad word. It can cover musics which we do not think of usually as jazz. So I would go with Humphrey Littleton's definition, jazz is where you hear it. Not everyone will agree with that.
Paul, I understand the first jazz recordings were made about 100 years ago, 1917. How has the idea of the popular notion of jazz changed in the last century?
Oh, well, it's changed considerably and a lot of different levels. I mean, the evolution of jazz is kind of like a house with a lot of windows in it, depending on what window you're looking through and get a sense of the interior of the house. And jazz has become, as far as I'm concerned, it has gone through an evolution that included the integration of blues music and early white and black folk musics from the South primarily. It was embedded in the slave experience in this country. And it moved out of New Orleans as it became more popular with the people and as an entertainment. And as it moved up the Mississippi River, it kind of attracted other young players who were involved in the early formation of what eventually became an art music in our time, which was still then an entertainment music and or a dance music. As the world changed, jazz changed. People that were involved in swing music and dance music during the 30s and 40s lived through World War II and the birth of nuclear energy, came back and couldn't play music the way they played it before. It gave rise to a music, rightly or wrongly, called bebop. And at that point, Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie and Thelonious Monk and others of that era understood that jazz could be something other than just entertainment, that it could be an art form with a full range of expressive dynamics. But in order to do that, they had to kind of refine and expand on the possibilities of the music in the same way that artists and visual artists and dancers and poets were doing the same in their kind of disciplines after the war. Yesterday was Charlie Parker's 99th birthday. We would not be sitting in this room speaking to one another, me speaking too much right now, but nonetheless, we wouldn't be here had he not lived. He was that important of a human being and an artist. He developed sounds and possibilities for this music that inspired now four generations of young players. I go to social events, and I mean, I've been producing jazz concerts in this town for a long time. I meet people, they say, oh, you're involved in jazz. Yeah, oh, we used to love jazz when there were like really great players. And I said, you know, you should listen today. Because if Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie and Thelonious Monk were looking down from wherever, they would be very happy people knowing and seeing what's happened to the music that they created. It's never been better. It's never been stronger. It's never been more alive, I feel. So I think it's at a point in its evolution right now that is probably its most expansive and fullest and most rewarding to listeners.
Well, we have a great player in the studio with us, and Tom Porter brought his keyboard. So aren't we lucky today? Or I should probably say one of your keyboards, right?
Wait until you've heard me. And then politely tell me you like it.
So, Tom, I want to start by asking you, you hear this phrase, a jazz standard. You know, people play the jazz standards. What is a standard? Is there actually a book and something is either in or out? It's a jazz standard or not?
Well, there is actually, but there are fake books, they call them, where you can look at like hundreds of jazz tunes. And a lot of them are standards. Not all standards are in there. I mean, they're not all standards. And what people tend to mean by standards is the old tunes that people know. Often they were written for shows, for movies and vaudeville shows in the 20s and 30s. And then they became popular amongst jazz musicians to play. Tunes like Night and Day, that kind of thing, you know, Summertime. And there's a standard repertoire that a lot of musicians tend to know, at least a lot of those tunes when they get together and play and they don't need to rehearse. You can just say, let's do this tune.
And
it tends to be, you know, those old tunes from the movies.
Are you going to swizzle in your chair?
Oh, yeah,
here
okay.
And,
yeah, this is
one?
Actually a standard written in 1928, sung by I know lots of people. You Took Advantage of Me, it's called. Written 91 years ago, it was written.
91 years ago.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Porter. And we're going to give him just a second to move from one chair to another.
Thank you.
Yay. Thank you so much. Tom Forder on keyboards.
You don't like about jazz?
Yeah.
You play a wrong note, you just play it again, and it's not wrong.
I didn't recognize any. Rich, I know you and Tom go way back, and you've had him on your program. Thoughts about what he just played?
Well, the one thing, it sounded so natural and easy, and I think, you know, I was just thinking there's an emotional quality to it. I just felt better and pepped up hearing that music. But the point is, it sounded so natural. It just seemed to flow just out of Tom's fingers like water, and it sounded as though, to paraphrase Michel Legrand when he wrote music, he always wanted to create music that sounded as though it was always there, and the way Tom played that, and I'm sure he doesn't play that song the same way twice.
It is the closest,
a jazz musician.
I don't really play stride piano, which is when you have the left hand going, playing like the bass note, then a chord, and then another bass note, like Art Tatum did, and that's the closest I try and get to it. It's really difficult to do. Really, you need to practice a lot. But
so that what you just played for us, Tom, isn't in your usual repertoire.
I don't really play that with my band. No, that's more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Paul, thoughts before we move on?
I enjoyed it. I could spend the rest of the hour just listening to Tom play the piano.
As could all of us. But Rich, I understand that you have really sort of prepared for us a little bit of a jazz education. And before we go to a break, why don't you tell us about some of the different genres and play us some clips of some of the music.
Well, Paul mentioned Charlie Parker, who would have been 99 years old yesterday, and we have a recording that Charlie Parker made for the Savoy, Verve label back in 1950, and this, I think, is a kind of a one-stop shopping event, because not only is Charlie Parker on it, but Thelonious Monk is on piano, who did not record very often with Charlie Parker, Dizzy Gillespie on trumpet, and a guy named Buddy Rich on drums with a fine bop bassist, Curly Russell. This is called Mohawk. It was, I believe, it might have been written by Monk, or maybe Parker. It doesn't matter. But I thought we might hear a minute of that, because the ensemble plays for almost a minute. But then Charlie Parker comes in with this wonderful solo. And if we could just hear a taste of that and come back and talk about it. The thing about this is the individual sound that each musician has. Charlie Parker, nobody else played like he did. Nobody else played like Monk did. We didn't hear Dizzy doing a solo, but we could hear Monk laying down the chords. The individual sound of each musician. There used to be an ad for something. I forget what the product was, but the line was, one note and you know it's so-and-so. One note and you know it's Duke. One note and you know it's Lewis. Mm. Well, here, certainly one note and you know it's Charlie Parker.
Well, Rich, before we go to a break, we have room for one more at this point in the program. Tell us about another piece of music and what it represents in jazz.
Well, and I'm not a musician, but many who are, and especially those who play piano, look back to Art Tatum. Fats Waller, when he first heard Art Tatum, said, God is in the house. He was just.
Rich, if I'd known you were going to play Art Tatum, I wouldn't have come on the show.
Well, Tatum cut a giant figure, and I think it's safe to say that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, Paul, that every jazz pianist owes something to Art Tatum, because he really set a high bar with his way of playing.
Yeah, no one's got there since. No, nobody has got there since.
Yeah. We'll listen to just a bit of Indiana and just see what he does with this tune. Indiana, back home again in Indiana, Art Tatum.
Rich, it sounds like he has more than two hands.
Do we know it was only one of him? Are we sure?
Yeah, and interestingly, he was not much of a composer, but he could take any tune, any standard, and deconstruct it, construct it, deconstruct, and construct it again, and he brought his own sound to it. He could do that with just about anything.
Well, we are going to head into a break on this beautiful holiday weekend, listening to more jazz when we get back. We're going to have Tom Porter play for us again. We're going to talk about the jazz scene in Maine. So we'll also take some calls from our listeners. Stay with us. This is
Listener support brings us Maine Calling with help from Evergreen Home Performance, dedicated to helping homeowners qualify for Efficiency Maine Energy Audit and Insulation Rebates. More at evergreenyourhome.com. And New England Forestry Foundation, celebrating 75 years of conserving forests for future generations. Learn more at newenglandforestry.org.
Did you ever discover a gem that's been right underneath your nose for a long time? Well, we did, with saxophonist James Carter's Underappreciated, live at Baker's Keyboard Lounge. It's been in the library for years. This week on Jazz Tonight, we'll give it some overdue attention. My name is Rich Tozier, and I hope you can join me Friday evening at 8 for that and quite a bit more on Maine Public Classical.
Maine Public is a media sponsor of the Penobscot Theater Company's production of Woody Guthrie's American Song, a musical celebration of the songs and writings of America's premier folk poet. The show runs from September 5th through 29th at the Bangor Opera House. Maine Public members are eligible for a special discount to all performances. To learn more about Woody Guthrie's American Song and your Maine Public member discount, visit mainepublic.org and click on events.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, learning to love or at least appreciate jazz. Joining me, three jazz lovers, one of them a player. Paul Lichter has been called the region's most important jazz impresario. Tom Porter, a jazz piano player and former Maine Public Radio reporter and host. And Rich Tozier is, well, Rich Tozier, host of Jazz Tonight with Rich Tozier on Maine Public Classical. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. And now another treat, Tom Porter at the keyboard. He's going to play for us Good Morning Heartache.
Thank you.
Wow, Tom, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. That's Tom Porter at the keyboard playing Good Morning Heartache.
That was a tune written for Billie Holiday and recorded by her in the 40s. So a little bit more modern than the last tune.
And Tom, you're playing soon, aren't you, in Brunswick?
Oh, yeah, thanks for reminding me. Yes, on the 13th, Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th.
So, yeah, risk your luck. Come out to the Frontier, if you can.
Okay.
The cafe and performance venue in Brunswick there on Friday the 13th. Tom Porter and friends.
Great. Well, I'm going to start with a listener email. Shout out to three young jazz musicians. If you haven't heard of them yet, you are missing out. The Extension Chords are Miles Kelly on keys, Catherine Bowen on bass, and Owen Markowitz on drums. They're an award-winning trio who play throughout the Mid-Coast. They recently recorded an album that will be released on Spotify, recorded in the Maine College of Arts studio after winning the MAM Slam, Maine Academy of Modern Music competition in May. The Next Generation. So thanks, Lynn, for that email. A tweet from Tom. Are there any jazz clubs in Maine similar to Scholar's in Cambridge, Massachusetts? And Paul, I think that's a great segue to ask you about the jazz scene in Maine. Where do you hear jazz in Maine?
Oh, boy. Well, there are several places where you can hear jazz in Maine. In southern Maine, I mean, I can't speak for the entire state. I have no idea what's been going on jazz-wise outside of the festival in Stonington during the summer and the festival in Bar Harbor during the summer. Don't know what any of the jazz clubs are. But in southern Maine, one can listen to jazz on a regular basis at Blue, which is a small club on Congress Street in Portland. There's a new club in Freeport, Maine called Cadenza, a club that's run by Matt Fogg, pianist, entrepreneur, that is booking, and so far it's just been open for a month or so, but booking a lot of the really good jazz musicians in Maine. The Dimensions in Jazz series at the Portland Conservatory of Music books jazz on a regular basis, 12 months a year, mostly jazz musicians. I mean, not entirely, but mostly jazz musicians that are brought here from out of town. It's a pretty good series, if I say so myself. It's a series that I promote. But a lot of great Maine players are on that series. Space Gallery from time to time does some good contemporary jazz. Amy Petrin, Portland Ovations, occasionally will bring in like a real jazz musician. Not kind
like
of,
a big name you're talking about.
Yeah, big name.
Winton, everybody's a real jazz.
Yeah, well, Wynton Marsalis and the Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra, but also there are acts that come in that are kind of jazz-like, but not the kind of jazz that we're talking about right now.
Sure, and Rich, I know you wanted to mention this, the jazz scene right over the border in New Hampshire.
Yes, I'm in touch with the Seacoast Jazz Society, and of course, Maine Public's reach does cover southern New Hampshire quite well, but the Portsmouth area is a hotbed of jazz activity, particularly a club called the Press Room in Portsmouth. Every Sunday night at 6, they have some great musicians from around Maine and New Hampshire, as well as the Boston area. And they have a jazz jam session on Tuesday evenings. I would suggest checking out the Seacoast Jazz Society. You can Google them and find their website. But they post all the events going on in the southern New Hampshire area, including Dover and also Kittery as well. The dance hall in Kittery has jazz going on regularly. But that area, I would say within a 30 miles area around Portsmouth is very busy jazz-wise. Of course, that includes the University of New Hampshire in Dover, which has a jazz faculty.
Great. We're going to go to Jerry, who's calling from South Paris. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
Hi. So I'm a musician. I've been playing for my whole life, mostly playing like rock and blues music. I've been spending a lot of time learning jazz and getting into it. And the learning curve is huge. And I'm just wondering about like making the transition to playing with other jazz musicians, and being able to hold my own. Like, what's a good transition for that?
Would you say jam sessions, I think, are good? Yeah, I started when I was very young. I didn't really play rock, so I just started fumbling around playing boogie-woogie and then joined a local youth jazz orchestra where I met some people to play with. So I wasn't coming from the same direction you are. Any good, what are the jam sessions in Portland, Paul, that people can go to? Blue has one, doesn't they, on Tuesdays?
I think Tuesdays? Blue does have yeah. does have a jam session. There used to be one in South Portland at a small club over there. I'm blocking the name right now.
Oh, there's a place called
Ridgeway.
Bridgeway, yeah. Exactly. Yes. I don't know if they're still doing their sessions, but that was an ongoing session that the Doan family were kind of responsible for. I mean, outside of that, I'm not quite
That's
sure.
That's okay. Maybe Jerry will have someone call in before the end of the hour or send a quick email with
There's a venue in Westbrook. I don't know if they do jam sessions, called Lenny's, that we didn't mention. And that's named after Lenny Bro, who's the main jazz legend, the guitarist who died a while ago now. And they have quite a lot of jazz on there as well. They may have jam sessions, I'm not sure, but you can check out their website.
Great. We have a comment from Lucy. If you're looking to support and listen to some good jazz, take out your local high school's jazz concerts. I was in the jazz band in my high school, and we loved it when community members came to listen. And you'd be surprised at some of the talent you hear. We'll go to Judy in Machiasport. Hi, Judy. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this program. I just wanted to thank the people who have been doing jazz shows on MPBN and other stations for years and years. You know, the local programming really brings it into your home. You know, not everybody can go to Portland. I'm in Machiasport. You know, I've been to Blue, and it's great. But I think, you know, I know Rich has been doing it for years, and we've been listening for years. Ken Eisen had a great program for years. And then also on WBOC, there was a fellow named Arnold Olean who had a classic jazz show for about 20 years, and it was you could phone in requests. And again, it was also this classic jazz. I think the vocal jazz, the, if you want to get people, I think, turned on to jazz, another way is to introduce them to, you know, Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald. And the gypsy jazz is just incredible. So I really think the more local programming you can do and getting that type of music out to people is what brings you, it brings listeners in. Not the syndicated shows, it's the local programming.
Well, Judy, thank you so much for your call. And I think that's a nice transition for you, Rich, because I know another one of the clips you pulled is some vocal music. What do you want to introduce us to before we go to a break?
Well, right now, one of the greatest vocalists is Diana Krall, and we have an early recording of hers. I say it might be early 2000s or late 1990s, and she has a way of singing just about any standard. She's not only a great vocalist, she plays piano as well, but whenever she does a song, she takes possession of it. And here she is here with her trio, I believe, and all or nothing at all. Diana Krall.
All or nothing at all. Half a love never appealed to me. If your heart never could yield to me, then I'd rather have nothing at all.
And
nice,
just notice
playing,
how,
sorry,
yeah, that, yeah, I think that's Christian McBride on bass, who is a bassist. But just the thing about Diana Krall is notice her phrasing. I mean, that's what really makes, I think, a vocalist is scat singing as well. She wasn't scat singing there, improvising and making sounds, but her phrasing is just exquisite.
We are going to take another quick break. More jazz when we come back on Main Calling. Stay with us.
Listener support brings us Main Calling with help from Friends of Acadia, members and volunteers preserving the splendor of Acadia National Park for current and future generations. Friendsofacadia.org.
In Brazil, singer and guitarist João Gilberto was known as O Mito, the legend, and the man who invented the bossa nova sound. This week on Afterglow, I'll pay tribute to Gilberto, who passed away last month at age 88. I'm Mark Chilla, and join me for Joao Gilberto, A Memorial, this week on Afterglow.
That's this evening at 7 on Maine Public Classical.
Hemp is big business. Farmers are growing it, stores are selling its extract, CBD, and some people are even smoking it.
I smoke hemp.
What's it do for you?
I think it helps me kind of relax.
But big expectations for the crop are being tempered by regulatory concerns. On Next from the New England News Collaborative, we'll consider the region's market for hemp, as well as our love-hate relationship with deer and our hopes for those last few days of summer. Please join us.
That's coming up next at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, jazz. My guests are Tom Porter, a jazz piano player. You are going to hear Tom again in a moment. Also hear Paul Lichter, artistic director for jazz programming at the Portland Conservatory of Music, and Rich Tozier, host of Maine Public's Jazz Tonight, which is on tonight at 8, is on the line with us. That's on Maine Public Classical. Our conversation phone number, 1-800-399-3566. As promised, Tom Porter again. He's playing Monk's Dream by Thelonious Monk. Thank you, Tom. That's fantastic.
Thank
Wonderful.
You. Rich, long notes there.
Rich, what do you want to say about Tom Porter's playing? We're going to make him blush here.
Be nice.
Well, the thing is, jazz is a music of surprise, emotion, and fun. And all of that was in Tom's playing of that piece, especially fun. Tom, you were obviously having a lot of fun playing that. I think Monk would smile.
Yeah, I'm glad now it's over in case I got any really bad wrong notes. But yeah, I think it was all right. And I didn't used to like Monk, actually, when I was young. I thought he just sounded like he was playing wrong notes all the time because there's all that kind of... But in fact, I found out years later he was trying to get the note in between those two, between the semitones. If any musicians are listening, they might know what that means. But so he was going for that strange effect.
Well, go to Ralph.
Yeah, the critics used to...
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Rich.
Well, the critics used to say that he didn't know how to play the piano, and I would like to not know how to play piano that way. I think I'd be quite
very
happy.
Very unconventional, but yeah.
An email mentions the First Friday Jazz with Bill Barnes Trio at the Nocturnum Cafe in Bangor, so thanks for that. Ralph in Auburn, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. First of all, I'd like to mention two names that probably inadvertently were not mentioned earlier as really icons of jazz. It's Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington. There's no question that they're at the very top. as far as going to a jazz venue, I highly recommend the Portland Jazz Orchestra. And it's this is a great monthly concert band, big band jazz in Portland. They've been in business, so to speak, for well over a decade and a half. They're very professional musicians, the big band. They do their own arrangements in many cases, or they play variations on...
Sure, Ralph, and they play it at One Longfellow Square in Portland, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Every Thursday, I think, is the night where they play in Portland. It's a monthly. These guys are mostly professionals. They're school music organization leaders of music programs, and they feature... The sound is that of... The big bands.
The big bands, yeah. Ralph, thank you so much for calling in. I've seen them, and it's a wonderful thing to add to today's program. You know, we've been letting Rich play clips, but we're going to let you play a clip. For those of us who, or those people in the audience who don't know, tell us about Miles Davis.
Oh, wow. There's a lot to say about Miles Davis. Miles Davis was a trumpet player from East St. Louis, Illinois, who came to New York in the 40s to study at Juilliard. He was the son of a dentist who had musical ambitions, classically for his son. Miles dutifully obeyed his dad, came to New York, signed in, enrolled at Juilliard, and then spent the rest of the year looking around Harlem to find Charlie Parker, to whom he kind of apprenticed himself. Became Bird's acolyte, had this amazing talent that Bird recognized. They started performing together, and which they did often, and thankfully recorded plenty.
And you're playing something off of an album that's
I'm playing something off of an album that Miles did long after Bird died, called Kind of Blue, which was a seminal album for contemporary musicians. Miles moved away from bop music and started concentrating on what he called modal music. He'd been listening to a lot of Debussy and Ravel, had Gunther Schuller, a lot of people that were changing the music up in the 50s. He did this album called Kind of Blue, which is a brilliant record. We're going to listen to a track. And it was one of the first... recording evidences of Miles' long friendship and musical collaboration with John Coltrane.
So much beautiful music, so little time. We only have an hour program, not even. An email from Carl. A special shout out to Paul L. Be sure to ask him about Maine Jazz Camp. In response to the question about jams, Blue has a jam session every Tuesday evening. Check their website. The person who called from South Paris could also explore joining an ensemble at UMaine Augusta or going to Maine Jazz Camp next summer. I also think it's worth mentioning Brad Terry, still going strong in his 80s. The late Stephen Grover won the Thelonious Monk competition for jazz composition. Ask Paul about the many young players who grew up in Maine are now living all over the world and performing. I don't think we have time to ask you all of Carl's questions, Paul, but tell us about Maine Jazz Camp.
Maine Jazz Camp is a summer jazz institute that's been ongoing for 42 years. It's based on the campus of the University of Maine at Farmington. A lot of great young players. I mean, I wanted to say earlier that the state of jazz in Maine is very strong because of a lot of people, band directors certainly, disc jockeys and promoters. Everybody's part of this world that keeps this very healing and important music in front of people's consciousnesses. The Maine Jazz Camp is a pretty remarkable place. There are kids all over Europe and New York and all over the place that made their bones at the jazz camp.
Is it open only to kids, or are there adult programs?
There are adult programs. I mean, adults that are kind of elevated enough to know that if they're in an ensemble with 15 and 16-year-olds, they better have their chops together because these kids can play. But we don't turn anybody down at the camp. So, you can get in touch with me through Portland Conservatory of Music or through Maine Jazz Camp in Brooklyn, New York.
And there's a very strong high school and middle school jazz program in Maine. I know this because one of my kids was involved in it. Is it unusual in Maine? Do we have an unusually strong jazz program in the middle schools and high schools?
Well, I think that at one time it was stronger before the financial problems that Maine had, but it's starting to build up again. I'm not going to start mentioning names, but there are certain individuals that love this music in this state that are involved in the school system that have on their own dime created conditions for their students to forge ahead with their studies in jazz. And that's not to mention the individual teachers, but there are strong, strong programs in middle schools and in high schools. We know that because they're a funnel to the Maine Jazz Camp. Some brilliant musicians, young musicians, have come out of these programs, and we're indebted beyond to these band directors.
We have an email from Mark. He writes, "The key to jazz, in my opinion, is the use of dissonance in an artful way, which exemplifies and accentuates the emotions being conveyed." I was reading that email for the first time, Tom, as you were playing, and it does seem to fit Thelonious Monk, doesn't it?
Yes, very much so, yeah.
Okay, an email from Kristen. This is Kirsten. This is a fabulous program. Wish it could be 3 hours long. More.
Me too.
More. Yeah. So, well, Kirsten, I suggest you listen to Rich tonight at 8 on Maine Public Classical, and maybe go see Tom September 13th. An email from George. I am looking for a good live jazz venue in the Brunswick Bath area. Any suggestions?
Well, Frontier, where I'm playing, has jazz, other stuff too, but they have, you know, some good acts on there, including jazz and world music, whatever. So yeah, check out their website. I'm not sure. There used to be jazz at the Brunswick Hotel on brunch, Sunday brunch. I don't know if they still do that. Might be worth checking. But Tony Gabry used to play there. He's a great guitar player.
And the Cadenza.
Cadenza
in Freeport.
Yes, yeah. Of course. Yeah, Matt Fogg's place. Yeah.
A message from Rick Lindquist. Remembered me to Rich Tozier. He and I both studied German at the University of Maine, Orono, back in the day, and we both volunteered at the UMO campus radio station WMEB-FM, where Rich did, what else, the jazz show. So there you go, Rich.
Hello, Rick. Good to hear from you. If I may put in a word about spreading the message about jazz events going on around the state, as far as Maine Public is concerned, there are two ways you can do that. And I urge anyone who's putting on a jazz event to take advantage of this. One is to simply go to our website at mainepublic.org. We have a community calendar there, which gets a lot of hits for all types of activities, but under the category live music, jazz, and blues, that's where I go. When I'm putting the program together, I always scour that for events to announce on the program. And you can also write me directly at rtozier@mainepublic.org. Every time I do a jazz show, I take a few minutes and go through all the jazz events that I know of in Maine and southern New Hampshire. So it's an easy way to get the word out. We're kind of a community of jazz buffs in the state, and we all kind of stick together in a way, even though we may not personally be in touch with one another. But we share the vibe, and our hearts are in this. So please, if you're doing something, we'll be glad to get the word out for you.
Yeah, and Rich, you know, one of the great things about the community calendar is not only how many people use it, but that you don't need to sort of, it's a low barrier. You can make that entry yourself by going online. We are almost out of time. I'm leaving us a little early so Tom can play us out of the show. But before we do that, I'm going to read our credits. Thank you for all of you joining us today. Paul Lichter, Artistic Director for Jazz Programming at the Portland Conservatory of Music. Tom Porter, a multimedia producer at Bowdoin College, a jazz pianist with Tom Porter and Friends. And Rich Tozier, the host of Jazz Tonight, which you get to hear this evening on Maine Public Classical. Lucy Suchek ran the board, Maine College Drawings, produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. A special thanks to Rich for all of his help with today's program. I'm Jennifer Rooks. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio. Taking us out to the weekend, Tom Porter playing Bill Evans, Time Remembered.